Tonight we are looking in Psalms again, a most appropriate psalm for this remembrance that we have set before us. If we had to sum up this psalm in one word, I believe it would be worship. This is a song of degrees. And I believe is the last of the songs of degrees, whatever that designation has for us. I'll leave that to some wiser than I to determine. But nonetheless, the Lord speaks to us through His Word as He sees fit. And yet, no man can grasp anything that's in this book except the Lord gives him eyes to see it and ears to understand it. As the Lord said to the Pharisees, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." And so if a man reads the Scriptures, I would never discourage anybody from reading the Scriptures. You should read the Scriptures. You know, it would be a shame for me to have to exhort you to read the Scriptures and for that exhortation to fall on deaf ears. That would be certainly a shame. So we should, the Word of God, this Bible, which we call the Word of God, in reality this Bible contains the Word of God. It does not capture the Word of God, but it does contain the Word of God. Because the Word of God is boundless, and it is beyond the capability of men to record the Word of God completely in this book. Now, this is what the Lord has given us, and we believe it to be the breathed, inspired Word of God. It's exactly what He wanted us to have. It's the exact truth that He would set forth before us. And it is that which testifies of Christ. It doesn't make any difference what you may find in the Scriptures and profit from it. If you miss Christ, you've missed what the Word of God is about. There's a lot of good advice here. And surely men would be better served living in this world if they paid heed to the words that are set before us. But yet a man can be morally upright. He can walk according to the jot and tittle, as it were, insofar as men are able, of those things recorded in this book. And if he misses Christ, he's missed everything. So may the Lord give us grace that he might cause us to see the Lord Jesus Christ in every verse, in every page. Even as we, Brother Al, read this morning, and we saw Moses. Strong. His power was not abated. Just like the law. Power of the law is never lessened. It's not any less in effect today than it ever has been. It brings out threatenings and slaughters just exactly like it always has. It is a stern word. And it cannot be trifled with. And it will not be disregarded by men except they perish. According to such departures. But yet, that strong and mighty man, Moses, could not lead the children of Israel into the land of promise. Because the law came by Moses. And blessed be that law. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And that is not a setting aside of the law, but a fulfilling of the law. He is our law keeper. He is that one who has perfectly satisfied the law of God for us. And so, he's worthy to be worshipped. And we see Joshua lead the people. It's amazing to me how clearly the Lord describes the salvation of God's people even in the Old Testament, but they couldn't see it. Of course, a lot of people don't see it now, but they couldn't see it. And yet Joshua, of course, in the Yeshua, which in the Hebrew term, that's the same word as Jesus. I mean, that's the name, the same name, the name which is above every name. He's the one who would lead the children of God into the promised land. And He alone could do it. And so, we come to Psalm 34. And I believe this is a song, a psalm of worship. It says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." Or bless ye thee out of Zion is how I believe that it would be best to our understanding. Behold, bless ye the Lord. Now that word bless is an interesting word. On the one hand, it is impossible, is it not, for a man to bless God. I mean, all blessings flow from Him to men in that sense in which we consider what a blessing is. But this word here, interestingly enough, actually is the Hebrew word that means kneel. So the only way that a man can bless the Lord is to kneel before Him, to worship Him, to fall on His face before Him. And of course, we see that very clearly happening. It's not a thing that a man has to learn from the standpoint of he's taught to worship God. But when he's brought into the presence of God, he will worship Him. I mean, there's no two ways about it. When Daniel came into the presence of the Lord in his dream, in his vision, he said, "My comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I fell on my face before Him." John, when he saw the Lord in the book of the Revelation, he said, "I fell at His feet as a dead man." See, when the Lord is pleased to show Himself to somebody, worship will be the result of it. I mean, a man can't decide, well, there's the Lord, I think I'll worship Him. Or no, I don't think I will today. No, when the Lord presents Himself to a man, that man will worship the Lord. At the name of Jesus, the Scripture says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Now, that doesn't mean that there's going to be every knee that bows and every tongue that confesses is going to be doing so out of a heart of love towards Him. But it means that when the Lord comes, men cannot stand in His presence. They must worship Him. And so when He says here, "Behold, kneel before the Lord. Bless ye the Lord." That's how men bless the Lord, is by falling in worship before Him. That's all they can do. What a glorious God He is, dear brethren. He's not one whom men decide. I always think of, when I'm thinking in terms of men choosing to follow the Lord, I think back on what Joshua told the people when they were fixing to go into the promised land. And of course, this is always presented out as, well, you need to make your choice today, like Joshua said. He said, choose who you're going to serve. And they make that to be that Joshua was saying, well, here's the Lord, you can choose Him, or here's these gods over here, you can choose them. That's not at all what he said. He said, look up among these gods. He said, if you think it evil to serve the Lord, he said, look out among the gods of the Amorites and the Perizzites. He said, choose you this day which one you're going to follow. He said, pick one of them. He said, God's not on the auction block. He's not waiting for you to choose Him. He's the living God. He's the God of the gods of the Amorites and the Perizzites. He's the one that rules over all. He's the God of gods. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. I mean, you can choose any of them you want. See, religion is a thing men can choose. You choose to be a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Methodist, you can choose to be a Muslim, you can choose to be a Buddhist, you can choose anything you want to. But only as the Lord chooses men will they be the followers of Christ. See, it's not up to men to choose who they're going to serve insofar as it being the Lord, but it is that the Lord might choose us. He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. What a glorious thing. And why is it that men rebel so against that? Because just what David said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And what he means there is not that the fool has said in his heart, there is no such thing as God. Very few people on earth would say there is no such thing as God. I mean, there are some, no doubt. But there's no God for me. I will not fall down and worship God. But see, a man's a fool that says, I will not worship God. Because when God is pleased to show up, He will worship Him. There's no doubt about it. It's not a matter of if men will worship God. It's when. It's when. And by the grace of God, He is pleased to visit His people in the present day of salvation and calls them to willingly and gladly. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Oh, what a glorious thing.
Yes.
That the Lord is the one that makes men willing. Now, men don't like that at all. Men like the idea of choosing, do they not? I mean, you know, you always want to. That's why people like to go to a buffet. Why? Because you got all that food. And you can just choose anything you want. I mean, you can get whatever you want. Men like that. But you see, the Lord's not a buffet. And men will not choose to follow the Lord. They won't do it. Except He chooses them. And works in them His precious work to cause them to love His way, to desire His way. I don't know why people do that. Men like choices as long as they're the one making the choice. They get mad. You know, men by nature, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, they don't like the doctrine of sovereign grace. Huh? You'd think people would just be, man, this is great. I mean, when I first heard these things, I thought it was great. But the reason I thought it was great was because God, in His mercy, had showed me that He was actually God. And it put it all together. I could see how it was. But men like election as long as they're the one casting the deciding vote. In fact, I heard a fellow one time preaching, and he said that elections like this, he said, God votes for you, the devil votes against you, and you cast the deciding vote. Now, if that's not a blasphemy, I don't know what is. Brethren, you don't have a vote. I mean, you already cast your vote. You voted to be destroyed, right along with Adam. I mean, he voted to be destroyed. God said, in the day you eat this, you're going to die, and He went ahead and did it anyway. You know, if men had any sense, if Adam had any sense and was able, apart, and we're talking about if now, he'd have fell on his face when God said, in the day thou eatest thereof, you shall surely die. He'd have said, oh Lord, deliver me from it. But see, he couldn't do it because that was the ordained path the Lord would have him to go to show him what he was. See, if you thought you could serve the Lord of your own power, you'd be lifted up with pride. Peter found out pretty quick, did he not, that he couldn't walk on water when he stepped out of the boat. Now just think if Peter had walked on the water to the Lord, what he'd have been telling the disciples, knowing Peter's, you know, how Peter was, by, I mean his natural tendencies. He'd been saying, yeah, you boys, says, y'all stayed in the boat. Y'all was chicken. But he said, I got out and walked. See, I walked on the water. But Peter found out pretty quick, did he not, that he couldn't walk on the water. That the Lord alone was the one who could do that and could hold him up in such time as he would, until such time as he showed Peter what he was by nature. Oh, what a glorious God we have. Behold, bless ye the Lord. Kneel before him, all ye servants of the Lord. The servants of the Lord. Now, he's speaking here specifically to those priests and Levites which stood watch in the temple night and day. Behold, all ye servants of the Lord, those who serve in the Lord's house. Well, who are the people? Who are the priests and kings in the Lord's kingdom? He made us priests and kings in His kingdom, did He not? And He told His disciples, what did He tell them? Watch and pray. And we are to be watching and praying in the night watches. When are the night watches? They're ever, all the time. I mean, this is a night, this is a world of night. There's no light in this world except that which comes from Him who is the light of the world. And so this, we watch by night because we're in the night. The darkness is around us, dear brethren. We can't have fellowship with the darkness because it would overwhelm us in our own power were it not that the Lord did deliver us from it. But He says, bless ye the Lord, or kneel before the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. But you're there. You're watching. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Bless the Lord. Now that's an interesting subject. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now it's popular today and taught by many that it is a needful thing and it will help you out if you lift your hands to praise the Lord. And I certainly would never tell anybody, don't lift your hands in praise to the Lord. I'm talking about a physical lifting of the hands. That's a good thing. Sometimes I feel like doing it. And you know, if you feel like doing that when you're alone, it's an act of worship. But if you come together with God's people and you do it because you think it's the accepted thing to do, it's an act of the flesh. Now, if you're in the habit of raising your hands and praising God when you're alone and you're worshiping Him, and I believe it's a good thing, then you need not fear to lift your hands in praise among God's people. But because everybody lifts their hands, that doesn't mean, okay, well, everybody's lifting their hands. It's like some places you go, they believe in literally kneeling down on their knees to pray. That's a good thing. I'd never tell anybody don't get on your knees and pray. I think it's a good thing when the people do that. But if you don't do that every time you pray, then why would you do it when you come together with God's people in the house of the Lord? Now, if you're in the habit of getting on your knees, actually literally, and praying, there's nothing in the world wrong with getting on your knees and praying before Almighty God. It's a good thing. It's an act of a demonstration of humility. But don't kneel in order to show me that you're humble before God. You know, so these things, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. What is the meaning of lifting up your hands in the sanctuary? It's worshiping God. It is an act of Lord, help me. I mean, you know, when a man is just at his the end of his rope and he has no more help or hope in anything else, and he just puts his hands out, oh God, help me. And that's what lifting up hands is. It's a sign that we are surrendering unto the Lord. And it's a good thing. And there again, I say it again. If you feel like praising the Lord by lifting your hands, by all means do so if you're praising the Lord. But don't do it so that I can see that you're praising the Lord. I mean, do it because you feel compelled to do it. And I do feel compelled to do it sometimes myself. And I'm not saying you necessarily will, but, you know, praise God. He's worthy to be praised, is He not? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Don't be ashamed to praise God. Yeah. Don't be ashamed to humble yourself before Almighty God. Give, surrender. That's what it is. I've done all I can do. I can't do it. I'm at my rope's end here. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and kneel. Bless the Lord. Lift up your hands and kneel. Both things are very good physically, but they're very much more important spiritually if we kneel before God in our prayer. You know, I've heard of men who almost make a prayer be like a demand. I've heard men say, you know, you can hold God's feet to the fire. You know, you can say to God, well, now God, you've promised this, and I'm praying, I'm claiming the victory in your name. You know, it's of the Lord's mercies that He doesn't just strike people dead as a hammer right on the spot. When men would speak such things as that. You can't demand God to do anything. He's not at your beck and call. You know, that's really how a lot of people view God, and I've said this many times, like a heavenly vending machine. You know, you put in your money, or you put in your time and your talent and your whatever up here in the slot, and then you get down here to the thing and you say, okay, God, now I'm waiting for my blessing. No, that's not how it works. The Lord's not at our beck and call. He's pleased to hear the prayers of His saints. And He said, if His son asks of Him a piece of bread, will He give him a stone? No. He'll give him what he stands in need of. Oh, what a glorious God He is. Bless the Lord. Kneel before the Lord. Lift up your hands. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. He is the Lord that made heaven and earth. May the people of God bless Him by worshiping Him. He made all things. There's not a thing that a man has ever possessed, any idea that he's ever come up with, that did not originate in the glory of and purpose of Almighty God. Now, some tremble when you say such things as that, but I don't have a problem saying that because the Lord said that. He said, it is not in man to direct his steps. Now, you know, the Lord directs the steps of His people according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, I can't sort all that out, and I don't try to. But I do try to seek to give God glory, knowing that He alone is worthy of praise. And I am worthy of nothing. Because it is my sin that has overwhelmed me. See, Adam couldn't say, well, Lord, you ordained that I sin. No, he had to say, Lord, I've sinned, because it was him that sinned. I mean, you know, nothing happens that the Lord doesn't ordain, but it's certainly not up to men to decide, well, I'm not responsible, I'm not accountable, because God made men accountable according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, that makes some men mad, and it makes some men worship. And the only difference is the Spirit of God that works in a man's heart to show him that God is God. And I thank the Lord that He has shown us that. And we don't know anything as we ought to know, even as Job. I find myself in Job's shoes about every day. Lord, I've heard of Thee by the hearing of the ear, and now mine eye seeth Thee. Because when the Lord, just when you think you're finally getting a handle on something, you've finally got your understanding and, you know, right where you need to be, the Lord will show you you don't really know anything. Because what He does is He'll peel back another layer of that onion, which is your wicked heart, and He'll show you a little bit of that. And He'll show you, no, you don't know anything. You don't have any knowledge. He'll show you a little bit more of His glory. And He'll humble you in the dust. Oh, let the people of God praise Him. Behold, bless ye the Lord. Kneel before Him. Worship. Let us come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Oh, that we might be found this morning, especially as we come to this time when we've set aside to remember the Lord's death as He commanded us to do. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show the Lord's death. We manifest it. We set it forth before us in a real and physical way. We see it. And it's that which the Lord has done for us is as real as that bread and that wine which we're putting in our mouths and we're tasting. And we do that, as He said. And so, as we come here this morning, it is imperative that we come here with a sense of worship, recognizing who it is that gave Himself for us. And this is not just a ritual. It's not just something that we do because we've decided to do it, but we do it because He said to do it. He commanded us to do it. He didn't say it would be a good thing if you did this. He said, as often as you do it, you do manifest this. And we are, by the grace of God, hoping to exhibit that which Christ has done for us as we partake of this. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Because examination is not designed to exclude anyone who loves Christ from this table. The examination is so that a man might see himself for what he is and know that Christ alone is his righteousness. Because this is about discerning the Lord's body. Knowing who the Lord is. Knowing what He did. It's just not some offhanded thing, but it is that which Christ did for us. He died for us. He paid the price. And so we take this not with any lighthearted consideration, because this manifests the broken body of the Lord, the shed blood of Christ. And let not a man come here and eat of this bread unworthily. Because to eat of it unworthily is to have no discernment of what this is. Have no regard to it. To do it offhandedly. To do it lightheartedly. It's to do it without any regard to the one who shed His blood and gave His body for our sake. So may the Lord give us a mind today to remember the Lord's death till He comes again. Because He will come again to receive those who are His unto Himself.